running the board today. He's been at the practices. You know, Jake Hutchinson, our Niners insider here at 95.7 The Game, was at the practices. They were saying that was the loosest they've seen the 49ers practice this. They just felt great. They felt loose. They felt in control. They got a boost from Ricky Pearsall. So I thought heading into this game that everyone was going to be, oh, this is going to be great. But did they play loose, Bonta, yesterday? Or did they play tight?
They play tight. And it happened on the first three plays of the game.
And where does that come from? Is that the quarterback? Is that the head coach? No, is that everyone?
That's lack of execution. That's maybe on everybody. Kansas City right now has a mental edge over the 49ers. Mentally, they see Kansas City, and it's like, oh boy, we're the difference was Kansas City is trying to play to win, and the Niners are playing not to lose.
Yeah.
They were playing not to get embarrassed. Yeah. That's what it started playing out like. I watched the game. Evan Gidney sat right next to me. Second play of the game, offensive holding, boom. Offensive holding. Now all of a sudden you're behind the sticks on the first possession of the game, and this is the last team. We talked about this on Friday. The key is 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 2nd and 3, 2nd and 2. And for so many times you're getting in 3rd and long situations. It's the wrong team to do that because they're blitzing from everywhere, and again, you don't even know who to block on these blitzes.
I mean, they're one of the best teams when it comes to not having 3 and outs in the NFL. And what did they do in the very first series? 3 and out.
3 and out.
And that was. And what did the Kyle Shanahan loves to get? You know, the defer when they get the coin, stuff like that. But they didn't get that. It was the inverse this time. And you know, and KC, they get the ball back, and then they get a turnover on downs because they got to go to the fake punt. It's like, great, you got the momentum right back. And then what do? You throw a pick, give the momentum right back to them. It was just this constant tug and pull. It's just like, man, can something go our way? And then you lose Ayuk for the game. It was a mess yesterday. That was definitely one of the worst losses in the regular season, given the circumstances in the Kyle Shanahan era.
There's no doubt.
It was just not even close.
There's no doubt. Let's go to RJ Fairfield. RJ, what's happening?
We've got the heavy hitters today.
All right, what's up, players? Key takeaways. Brock Purdy, he's a trailer, not a tractor. Another one, Kyle Shanahan has learned nothing since the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan has learned nothing since the Super Bowl. I mean, come on, guys. We all know what coverage KC was doing, and he's still unable to scheme people open, jet sweeps, no creativity. And then I'm just kind of realize as a 49er fan that, man, we ain't no playoff team, man. I mean, come on. Look at the top of the NFC. We don't even deserve to be in the playoff talks right now. I mean, you know, we learned nothing. I mean, KC was in their bag. I mean, our defense was giving multiple opportunities to our offense to score. And what did we do? Punt, 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 and field goals at the end and picks everywhere. So this ain't on the defense. This is strictly on offense, guys. And I'm just sick of it, man. I'm coming to realize this ain't a playoff team. So it's easier to deal with that. And there ain't no championship this year. So that's what it is.
Let's go to TC and Sack.
Already? After one game, this seems done.
TC and Sack. TC and Sack, what's happening? So, my bro.
Bonta, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up with my bro, man? Good morning. Fedoni, what's up, man?
What's up, bro?
Hey, before I get started, right, you already know. Before I get started, listen, Fedoni, I got to disagree on that. It's not Shanahan and Shanahan and Andy Reid are way apart, bro. Way apart.
Really?
Shanahan is not on Andy Reid's level, pure point blank.
You don't think Mahomes has a lot to do with that, TC?
No.
You don't
think, Andy Reid was doing it long before Patrick Mahomes.
Won a Super Bowl before
That could be the end-all, be-all. He's taken a lot of quarterbacks, the Pro Bowls, all pros, borderline Hall of Famers. The Philadelphia Eagles were very, very successful under Andy Reid. It's not fair to Andy Reid to say, oh, he's just a good coach because of Mahomes. He's got a tracker. This guy's been in the league for 26 years.
I think we're underselling the greatness of Patrick Mahomes.
And Andy Reid, helped mold Brett Favre. So that's another thing. Andy Reid's resume is impeccable, man. I'm with TC. Shanahan's not on Andy Reid's level.
We're underselling Patrick Mahomes and his greatness. That's all.
No, we're not. We're not. We are underselling Andy Reid.
Go ahead, TC. Sorry.
No, yeah, exactly, because that's the easy answer. I don't want to get stuck on this because I want to get on Brock and Shanahan, but that was Fedoni. That's the easy answer to say, oh, Patrick Mahomes is light years better than Brock. Everybody knows that, bro. You know what I'm saying? We all know that. We're talking about the real Shanahan is not on Andy Reid's level. Let's move on. Brock Purdy, bro, the anticipation throws. We already told you about that. That's going to get you in trouble, brother. Everybody's talking about Ronnie Bell. No, Ronnie Bell cut the route short because that was the opening. If he would have ran straight and ran that out, that corner route, he would have ran right into the DB because he was dropped in coverage. He cut it down for Brock. That was Brock trying to throw to a spot, hoping that his guy was going to be there. Brock had an awful game yesterday. I don't care. You run J.P. Mason, Kyle, 50 times. Andy Reid did it. He grabbed Kareem Hunt off the couch and ran him 50 times. I don't care about the 14 carries. You run that guy 50 times, bro. Period, point blank. Shanahan is not the guy, bro. And I call and tell you about this dude all the time, Bonte. And everybody is starting to see it, bro. That's all I got. I'm going to let these callers have their peace, bro.
All right, TC. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGGF, MNHC1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Odyssey app. Nobody's underselling Mahomes. We know Mahomes is great. There's no doubt about it. And Andy has got this toy. But nobody, and here's the thing about Mahomes being great. We didn't know he was going to be great when he entered the draft. Nobody, he was wild card.
He was a first-round pick.
He was a wild card, though.
He was
a wild card. There's a lot of first-round picks who flame out. That means nothing when you're a first-round pick. We see misevaluations all the time.
But the talent was obvious.
Trey Lance.
Yeah.
But Andy Reid has done this with many quarterbacks. He's been a very successful head coach. There's a lot, like Marv Levy. We're gonna disrespect Marv Levy because he didn't win a Super Bowl. Marv Levy's a great coach.
He is.
But Buffalo fell short.
But did we not learn our lesson with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? As soon as Tom left, we realized it was a lot to do with Tom Brady and the Patriots' success.
And also,
because he won a Super Bowl immediately after leaving.
We saw
what the Patriots turned into after Tom left.
But you also had a lot of buy hires there when you give Joe Judge and Matt Patricia the keys to the offense.
Yeah.
That's a terrible move. But the quarterback does help you, but Andy Reid has had Brett Favre. He's had Donovan McNabb. He's had Jeff Garcia. He's had Mike Vick. He's had Kevin Kyle. He's won a lot of games. The guy's got three seasons in which he's won less than 8 games.
Yes.
3 in 26 years. So Andy Reid gets a lot of credit. And right now, he's coaching better than Shanahan. It's just no, his creativity on offense is light years better than Kyle Shanahan's right now. It's not even close.
I thought yesterday, and a lot of calls are going to disagree with me, I thought the gap yesterday was more so because of the quarterback play than the head coaching play. Like Patrick Mahomes, he wasn't amazing yesterday. As you said, he's threw 2 picks, but he made the plays of the game multiple times.
Yeah,
whether he was falling down, getting sacked, whether it was scrambling, whether it was fourth and goal, running up the middle and bodying Malik Mustafa. Like, he was the difference in that game to me. Whether it was that little flick pass to
I don't know about that. Mahomes looked very pedestrian yesterday. He threw for 154 yards.
He did, but he made the plays of the game.
He was off on Xavier Worthy the first play of the second half where he threw it deep. He was off yesterday. The difference to me yesterday was Kansas City and Spats defense undressing the Niners offense and saying, we're going to play man defense right now, in your face, sticky man coverage. Brock beat us with some throws.
Undressing Brock Purdy. Yes.
And they undressed him.
Brock Purdy. Yes.
And it's they undress the entire offense.
I mean, I can't blame Kyle Shanahan for Brock Purdy missing horribly on some of those. That's not Kyle Shanahan's fault.
Well, Shanahan's play calling sucked. Purdy's quarterback play sucked.
Okay.
The offensive line sucked in the run and pass game. The run game sucked. The wide receiver sucked getting off of press coverage. The entire offense is culpable for yesterday. Culpable what happened. They sucked. Okay? The offensive line sucked. How many times I need to say it? They suck. They all stunk yesterday. And that's the difference would be the difference in the Super Bowl and in this game yesterday. Kansas City's defense dominated the game. And that cannot happen. We have an offensive-minded head coach who's quote-unquote a genius and a quarterback who's going to make $60 million a year. In Kansas City, the last two matchups, Purdy didn't look like a $60 million quarterback, and Shanahan didn't look like an offensive genius, and the offensive line couldn't get a push up front. It happens over and over and over again in these big games. It just is what it is. Mahomes wasn't great yesterday.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't great at all.
But he made great plays when they needed to be made. And that's the difference sometimes.
Team stunk. Now I'm starting to get ticked off. Let's go to... Unbelievable yesterday.
Just one game, Bonte.
No, it's not just one game. It means a lot, man. It means a lot yesterday to get undressed by the way you did. The coach scared. The coach timid on offense. It was embarrassing. Eddie and Oxnard. What's happening? I'm getting ticked off because now I'm playing a game back in my head and I watch it next to Evan. Offensively, it weren't even close. Nobody's getting open. Nobody's getting any push on the offensive line. Just awful. Eddie, what's happening?
Hey guys, that goes all the way back to Kyle. You have to talk about two things with Kyle: the scheme, which even Baldy said the offensive scheme is very vanilla, the passing scheme. How many rub routes did you see yesterday?
Not many.
How many screens did you see? How many crossing routes did you see?
Not many.
You saw none, and it's primarily because Kyle believes he can out scheme everyone with his motion. And even if you go back to the Super Bowl and you see all the motion he does, did you see the Kansas City defenders move at all? No. They just stay there and know, we can play seven on you, stop your offensive line, stop those gaps open, play gap integrity, smart football, and make you beat us man. And he doesn't tie in, he doesn't include man-beater routes into his passing scheme. His run scheme can be creative at times, but he doesn't lean on it. He just decides to stop passing, and he just assumes he can scheme everyone open, which he can't. And this goes back to his drafting the offensive line. We've been talking about the offensive line needing draft picks for the past 4 or 5 years now. All the way back to McClinchy when he was terrible on the right side of the line, and the answer is, oh, we're going to put McKivitz there to play the right tackle, and he's terrible. You have a bad center in Brindle who's constantly catching, being pushed back into Brock, constantly getting caught for holding penalties on passing and rundowns, and he's controlled. He has full control of the offensive personnel, of the team personnel. We like to talk about John Lynch, but really Kyle's a de facto GM in many ways.
Yeah.
He chooses who gets drafted.
Eddie, good call. Look, the crossing routes that you mentioned, did you see any crossing routes? There's plenty of crossing routes. The problem is these wide receivers couldn't get open on the crossing routes. And what Baldy said a few weeks ago when Shasky asked him, what's the identity of this team right now? And Baldy said slow. Well, yesterday I saw slow and unathletic. Crossing routes, drag routes, they could not get open. So in one sense, you could say, well, where the hell was Purdy going to throw the football? I mean, just an offensive disaster yesterday. We're going to focus on that all show long. Everybody, we're getting to everybody. Damon, David, Caitlin, Jay, Ricky. I'm annoyed right now. This loss annoyed me. It annoyed me. Offensively, it's just not good enough. Not good enough. Not even close to being good
enough.
There's
a big brother mentality, little brother mentality when it comes to the Chiefs and Niners right now, and that's very tough to shake. Having five older brothers myself, I understand it.
Oh, boy. More coming up, brought to you by our great friends at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I'm due for an oil change, by the way. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through, Spadoni. 15 minutes, that's it, in and out. 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Purdy after the game said it was on him. Shanahan after the game said it was on Purdy. Said Ronnie Bell ran the right route, because Lord knows in real time we're all ready to run Ronnie Bell out of town. Oh, you know, definitely he ran the wrong route. No doubt about it. Well, that's why we don't know what's going on in that huddle. We don't know who the primary receiver is. We got to stop playing the coaches all 22. We don't know what's going on. We don't. And it felt like Ronnie Bell ran the right route, was wide open for a first down, and Brock Purdy with a chance to take the lead. All you got to do is kick a field goal. You're up 15-14. You throw a pick. You throw a game-changing pick, and that's what's happening here. Spadoni, by the way, shout out to Jax for Friday.
Love Jax.
How about that breakfast at Jax?
Delicious. I had multiple burritos from Jax, and it was... Oh,
never got in 15 spot. Minutes.
Yeah, they're gone.
15 minutes.
Well, Baldy hammered like five of them, it felt
like. Yeah, probably.
He's a big man. He needs his food.
But all the roasters who came by, we appreciate it. It was a lot of cool. They got to ask some questions of Baldy at the end of the show. It was really cool.
It was a great time on Friday.
But Jax did it. The burritos ran out so fast that Shasky started eating granola. He never eats granola.
Well, they had the guacamole there, too. Yeah, they had the salsa verde. They had the pico de gallo. I'm all up with the fixins with the Mexican food, too.
A little bacon breakfast for
you. Well, Jax is great, too, because they have just such variety. They have American. They have Mexican. They have Greek. Everything's all in one. It's just like, you know what? I like all of them.
Shout out to Jax for providing the breakfast on Friday. Shout out to our roasters who are on the line. Don't forget, though, the most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. And we all may need a concert soon. Trust me. We all may need a concert.
Are you down that bad?
Look, Hip Hop Made the Bay started Too Short, Ja Rule, Bull Thugs, DJ Quick, Friday, November the 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Again, Ticketmaster.com. This is going to be a fun concert November the 1st.
I mean, Bone Thugs right now, I mean, they have a famous song. I mean,
Meet Me at the Crossroads.
Is this team at a crossroads right now?
Absolutely incredible.
Yes, they're at a crossroads. It's Operation Win It All Costs next Sunday. They don't win next Sunday, the season's over.
This
point blank. You don't beat the Cowboys next Sunday, season's over. You're not rallying from a 3-5 deficit this year. You could fall to 3-5 this year. Because I tell you right now, I'm looking at the schedule. I don't want to do this today. We're going to get to everybody and talk about this loss. But you lose to the Cowboys, and you're 3-5. Then you come out the bye week, you're playing at Tampa. All right? You're playing at Tampa.
Yeah.
Then you're playing Seattle at home.
Yeah.
Then you're playing at Green Bay. Super Bowl favorites. Green Bay's really good.
It was a really good win over the Texans yesterday.
Then you got to go to Buffalo, Orchard Park, Sunday Night Football against Josh Allen in that place.
It's going to be cold, too. The elements going to be into play there. Brock Purdy and the elements, not great.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then you host the Chicago Bears.
Been playing better.
That defense is real. You want to talk about sticky man coverage? Well, guess what Matt Eberflus does? Sticky man coverage.
Montez Sweat, yeah.
All right. Then they got the Rams. Who the hell knows where the Rams going to be at December 12th?
Massive win yesterday against the Raiders.
Big win for them. Now you can play the Dolphins. Two of them probably bad, but they stink. And then you got Detroit December 30th, who will try to put the knockout blow to you. Yeah. So the schedule doesn't lighten up. So it is what it is. We're going to get into it. You lose Sunday to the Dallas Cowboys. Season's over. Season's over.
It's a week-to-week league, Monte. All right. I'll
tell you that right now.
Here.
Lose to the Cowboys. Season's over.
Let's get there first. I don't think they're going to lose to the Cowboys. It's early.
Well, who's going to play? Who's not going to play? Debo was sick. Well, did we find out what the illness was? We know Ayuk. And
you're down bad right now. This team, like
the Brandon Ayuk situation, cannot have played out worse for Brandon Ayuk, nor could it play out for the team.
It's unfortunate. Like it really is because. You felt the pressure with him each and every game since the holdout, whatever the hell you want to call it. He wasn't there. And you felt it every single day. You felt the frustration from the fan base, from the player. He's being short with the media afterwards. He's doing these podcasts with Debo Samuel. He doesn't want to be there. The whole thing has just been a mess the last, 6 months. Ever since he lost the Super Bowl, it's been whispers. Oh, maybe I'll stay in Vegas. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll go there. Maybe I'll play with Jaden Daniels. And for it to culminate in a potential torn ACL and him to be out for a season, it's just unfortunate. It is. And they need him. That's the thing with all this. They need Brandon Ayuk right now desperately. No McCaffrey. Jennings was out last week. He didn't have Debo Samuel. And you were, relying on Ricky Pearsall making his first appearance as an NFL player coming off a chest wound, getting shot a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Just, it was not a recipe for success yesterday in Santa Clara. And, no. and it just was bad.
Just focusing on Brandon Ayuk, who received. So Brandon Ayuk obviously signed a 4-year, $120 million deal, $76 million guaranteed with the new deal. He's received $47 million between now and April 1st of 2025. So think about Jade York. He had to dish out $96 million to Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams.
I saw Baldwin chopping it up with Jade York on
the sideline. Yeah. Well, it was right there. I was right there.
Okay, so. Bonte was there too, everyone.
Give me the drop. I got to shake. I talked to, dude,
shaking hands, kissing babies, Bonte.
It was a lot of fun. I got to talk to Jade York for a couple minutes. That was
pretty
cool.
Did you talk to TB12, though?
I did not talk to TB12. Did not get to TB12.
Suit game was looking good for Tom.
Did not get to TB12. But when you think about what Ayuk did to sign the 4-year, $120 million deal, and he was already behind the eight ball because of the way training camp went down. And now he's got a torn ACL. From the team perspective, this is a disaster. An absolute disaster. For Brandon Ayuk, it's a disaster because now with this fan base, your Q rating is at an all-time low. He dropped the pass yesterday, and the fans started booing instantly on third down. There's no remorse for Brandon Ayuk right now.
It was a bad drop.
Not a lot of fans feel bad for him right now, and I do because he tore his ACL. Now you're going to lose the season. Who knows how he recovers? But this also proves, too, that if you're a player for new money and you need a contract, Imagine if Brandon Ayuk was playing on the $14 million and he tore his ACL. I guarantee you he's not getting $76 million guaranteed.
No, he's getting a one-year prove-it deal from someone else.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
So for Brandon Ayuk, it's a blessing that he secured the bag. But by securing the bag and the way that he secured the bag, now the fan base is going to say, 1 year, waste. 1 year, already looks like a bust. That's what the fans are thinking. And the team is thinking, boy, we just gave this guy $76 million guaranteed. Do you look at the production? It wasn't pretty.
I mean, not only did you sign and re-sign Christian McCaffrey to a deal, and he hasn't even played a snap this year, Bonte.
Oh, my gosh.
But now you did the same with Brandon Ayuk. So that's two players, two all-pro players that you re-signed this year that are potentially out for the season.
Wow.
That's just not good business, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because it's an injury thing. The Christian McCaffrey one is a little more perplexing, and that's maybe something where the 49ers should have examined it harder with their doctors. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much knowledge they had with the bilateral tendonitis, with all that sort of stuff, but the Ayuk one is just, it feels unfortunate. You can't predict things like this, but this gets baked into the equation, right?
Oh, yep.
Like,
no doubt.
And now what's going to happen with Deebo Samuel moving forward, his contract with George Kittle, all that sort of stuff. There's going to be some question marks going forward with the construction of this team and this roster. Are they going to have to revamp some things going forward here? Because right now, you did a litmus test going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yep. You came up very small.
Very small.
And they don't even have all their talent with them.
No, they don't.
And that's even more frustrating.
Yeah, don't miss me with the injury excuses, because every team's dealing with them, especially the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Especially the Kansas City Chiefs. 510, Comcast Business X Line was the stadium bullying Ayuk after the drop.
Yes.
If you can, Carter or Evan,
you can hear it in the,
find that play if you guys can, because I'm going to hear the boos. We heard the boos in the press box as soon as he dropped it. Boo! That may have been the loudest the stadium was yesterday. Was when they booed Brandon Ayuk. Let's go back out to the line, Spadone, and let's get to Jay in Oakland. Jay, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, man? You guys are killing it. First of all, I'm a Raiders fan by marriage. 49ers fan, but my wife is a Raiders fan. So,
God bless her.
Spadone, you see it firsthand. Andy Reid is the man. I mean, he had Alex Smith playing Pro Bowl quarterback for 3 years. Alex Smith being a Pro Bowler for 3 years. So Andy Reid is definitely the man. And speaking of that, man, I don't give a rat's ass what Kyle Shanahan birth certificate say. Andy Reid is that man's daddy. He's his daddy. Mike Shanahan might be the stepdaddy. We need an investigation into that. 0-5 against Andy Reid. That's ridiculous, man. And like Bonte said, man, like, where was the creativity coming from Kyle? It's like starting, it seems like every game, Kyle's game plan is becoming more and more predictable. And I hate to say it, it seems like for the last 2 years, we've been kind of regressing as far as Kyle and his play calling. And I get it, you know, players are out, and you got to adjust on the fly and things like that. But that's when the Wonder Kid genius is supposed to show his stripes. Like, you're supposed to go on the fly. And then last thing, when did Brock Purdy start throwing Jimmy G medicine balls and getting players hurt? Mm. What is going on with my team? I am really frustrated. And I know that Kyle's not going anywhere, right? And I know fans are calling him to get fired. That's ridiculous. But after the bye, man, somebody had got a row. And I'm thinking maybe it's a special team.
Yeah, maybe it's Schneider. Maybe it's Schneider. Because, you know, one, thanks for the call, Jay.
Good call.
You know, it's one thing for people to say, we don't need the kickers tackling. Don't make the tackle. Well, you got to make the tackle, number one, or this other team scored a touchdown. So you want to give up a touchdown, or you want the kicker to try to get his nose dirty and actually play some damn football for once and not just kick? All right, that's number one. Number two, why are these returners getting to that level to where the kickers have to make a tackle at the 45-50-yard line?
Well,
it's because the first wave is not making tackles and not containing, and they're missing tackles left and right, Spadone.
It seemed yesterday they were consciously kicking it right before the ball hits the end zone. So they wanted them to return, it felt
right.
Like. That was part of the game plan of doing that. But if you're doing that, then you got to be buttoned up. And they just weren't. There were so many alleyways coming to the left, coming to the right. Like, that's all great that you want to design it and do that and want them to, like, get past, you know, the 20-yard line, and then you can swarm them. But just kick it in the end zone. Everyone else is doing it. Just kick it into the damn end zone. Carlson's got the leg for it. He made a 55-yarder like it was nothing.
Right.
Just kick it in there, man. It's really not that difficult. And Yeah, is firing the special teams coach going to galvanize the team? I don't know. Does that ever really work?
No.
But something's got to change there. Sorensen wasn't the problem yesterday. And
no,
yes,
Sorensen was fine.
Sorensen was fine. And I get it. Shanahan was not great yesterday. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm not here to cape up and say that he was, you know, the greatest thing and it was all Brock and all this sort of stuff. No, no. I just thought Brock was just came up small in comparison to Mahomes yesterday.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that Andy Reid isn't amazing. I'm not saying that. Yes, I know firsthand, as Jay was saying, he dominates the AFC West. He's dominated the AFC West. He dominated the NFC East. He is legit. But when you have the quarterback of Mahomes' caliber, it just is on display exponentially
it
more
is.
Than a guy like Alex Smith.
It is.
It
but
allows
you, know what?
You to do so much more.
But you know what, Spadoni? He didn't do much yesterday. He threw two picks.
God, but
he threw two picks in the Niners, and I'm looking offensively.
The plays that he made, that was
no,
the difference
I,
of the game.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
The difference of the game to me was Brock Purdy's three interceptions. The difference of the game was Kansas City's defense kicked the Niners' offensive ass. Like, I look at the first quarter. Tone setter, three and out right away, boom. Kansas City gets the ball. They run the fake punt. Your defense actually, keep your starting defense on the field, and you made a good special teams play because their starting defense didn't go for the fake punt. So you stuff them. Now you got first and 10 at Kansas City's 45-yard line. Reminds me of early third quarter of the Super Bowl when you had first and 10 at the Kansas City 44-yard line when you picked off Patrick Mahomes and you didn't score.
Tig Brown. Yeah.
Well, what do you do on the first play here? You throw an interception. Okay, you throw the pick. You force Mahomes. He throws a pick. Because Khalil Davis, something we didn't even mention. What a great plays we've seen all season from a defender. Khalil Davis coming up with the deflection and the pick. Bats it to himself, basically comes up with the interception. So now you got a first and 10 at the 32. You get 8 yards right off the rip. You got a second and two and a third and one. And what do? You gain a single yard. No creativity because you think you could run the ball on Kansas City. Well, you know what? You can't run the ball on Kansas City. When you try to run the ball on Kansas City, look at the running back yardage from Kansas City this year. Derrick Henry, 46 yards rushing. Bijan Robinson, 31 yards rushing. J.K. Dobbins, 32 yards rushing. Alvin Kamara, 26 yards rushing. At one point, Jordan Mason had 7 carries to 6 yards. So, you know Kansas City shuts down a run, and yet on the second and two and the third and one, you run it right up the damn middle, and you get nothing, and you got to punt again, and you waste all that field position in the first quarter, Spadone.
If you look at the total numbers, it's not horrible, because that's where stats can be deceiving, right, in the box score. You look at 24 carries, 101 yards, averaging 42 yards a carry.
It's not
there
good.
Was just a couple of big runs from Mason there where you thought at some point, like, oh, wait, maybe they're getting something here. But that just goes to show the depth and the quality of Steve Spagnuolo, because it's really Chris Jones, Karlaftis, and a bunch of guys you just don't, you're not familiar with. Now, we're diehard, so we know the McDuffies of the world, right? The Chanel's, all that sort of, the Nick Boltons of the world, right? But outside of that, it's just like you don't have the Honey Badger, right? You don't have Legarius Sneed anymore, but they still find ways to mix and match. And that's why it's just so frustrating going up against that team, because Kansas City hasn't played their A game all year long. And that's why it's scary for the rest of the league right now. You literally said something to me off air where you're just like, they're going to three-peat again, aren't they? It sure feels like the Kansas City Chiefs are probably going to three-peat because no one else is on their level defensively. And when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like who I give him the respect that I give Peyton Manning when he elevates all the players around him, that I give Tom Brady when he just elevates all the players around him. I gave that same respect to Patrick Mahomes that he can get the best out of guys named Justin Watson, Jody Forston, Sky Moore.
But even then,
just all these guys.
Yeah, I know. But to me, my big takeaway was Mahomes was a pedestrian. The Niners defense actually did a pretty decent job on Patrick Mahomes in their passing game.
They got to him.
They did get some pressure on him. They got pressure on him. Actually, may have been one of their better games when it comes to a pass rush, the 49ers, that is. But I look at this offense, and I know there's no Christian McCaffrey. You had Brandon Ayuk for most of the first half. You don't have Deebo. This is on the offense, though. This is on the offense. And the game plan and the play calling. I just didn't like what I saw on that side of the football yesterday. Let's go to Caitlin, who's been on hold for a while. Caitlin down in Santa Cruz. Caitlin, good morning.
831.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I've been better, Caitlin.
Doing great.
All right. So here's my thing. You know, CMC's been out, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Jordan Mason, who's been serviceable, but I swear the guy gets like two or three just open lanes where he, if it was Christian, he would be in the end zone. And I'm like, scream at the TV, go, go, go. And the secondary always catches him. And it's like, you know, that's like, I don't know, 8 touchdowns that we haven't been able to convert. So he's been fine. He doesn't get, you know, the 1 yard runs that we need. But he also just doesn't have that explosion after he gets, you know, past the line. So, yeah, he just always gets caught. And I'm like, damn it, that would have been a touchdown if it was Christian.
You know, it's a good point, Caitlin. They missed the explosion of Christian McCaffrey. There's no doubt. In the red zone, outside of the red zone, they miss CMC.
Passing game, running, just everything.
I mean, red zone.
He's literally the offensive player of the year.
They're 14-31 in the red zone. They're 27th in the league when it comes to red zone efficiency. So, yes, Christian McCaffrey, he's missed. And it makes me wonder, when McCaffrey does bypass checkdowns, is that because number 23, Christian McCaffrey's not on the field, and that's his trusted agent, and he doesn't trust Jordan Mason yet, maybe, in the pass game? Because there are some checkdowns at times. You're like, yo, just check it down. Just get anything. Since you're forcing it down the football field. Now, you want to hear the blues for Brandon Ayuk?
I do.
Purdy was playing like crap up until that point anyway. But he finally made a good throw. And here's what happened.
Slow starts to the season, KB, earlier with Ayuk. And again, they finally get some space. The Chiefs are playing a lot of man coverage. They got McDuffie on them. And Ayuk comes down with that 99 out of 100.
I would have loved to see Tom Brady and his reaction if he was playing quarterback that day, because it would be a lot different, I'll tell you that right now.
Kevin Burkhardt.
Into him on the sideline.
Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. And you hear the fans. You hear the crowd.
I don't blame him. He's not been good this year.
No,
and it sucks that he got hurt, because I don't
well,
like...
it's going to be a lot. It's a lost year.
It's a lot.
It's officially
him.
A lost year. If it's a torn ACL as a Niners fear and he's out for the season, it's a huge... And it's going to be, when it comes to the end of the season, and if the season does go awry, and the Niners don't end up in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. I don't even want to bring up the Super Bowl right now. Not even first place in NFC West. So let me stop there. Let's try to get a damn playoff game, for crying out loud. But at the end of the year, when we look at things that went wrong, the Brandon Ayuk situation is going to be 1, 2, or 3. And I'll probably put my bottom dollar on it not being 2 or 3. Probably number 1.
Definitely feels like they had an opportunity to trade him and get some draft capital back, and they whiffed on that. The whole Pearsall pick, everything just seems so out. This entire offseason leading into the season has just been weird. It's just been odd.
You know,
it's been tense. It just hasn't been 49er football that we're accustomed to seeing under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Everything's just been amiss. And it culminated yesterday in a lopsided loss against a team that has had your number. And you felt the frustration boiling over from the fan base yesterday in that call. Mm-hmm. You just feel it right now. And I understand it. 3 Super Bowl losses in the last decade plus will do that to you, Bonte
right.
Hill.
Right.
I don't have to tell you. You're a 49er fan. You're a diehard. You were there in Vegas, Joe Shasky. You guys witnessed it. And the gap feels wider than ever right now between you and the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is. You know,
it's the widest it's been.
916 asked, where are the crossing routes on man-to-man? Well, 916... they ran some crossers. Carter, you watched the game. They're running drags. They're running crossers. 916 on the Comcast Business Text Line. The ones that 916 is asking for crossing routes on man-to-man. You can run all the crossing routes in the world. But if you can't uncover and separate from these defenders, then the crossing route is just going to be a crossing route that's getting covered. There was no space. There was no openings. These wide receivers cannot beat man coverage. When we get Baldy on tomorrow at 7:30, he'll point to it. The lack of explosion, the lack of firepower, the athleticism. It's alarming. The lack of athleticism on this 49ers offense right now is alarming. They can't get open against man coverage. They can't.
And now you're going to rely on Ricky Pearsall. If Juwan Jennings is out, if Brandon Ayuk is out, we'll see if Deebo Samuel. Obviously, he'd shift into your wide receiver one when he's healthy, but Ricky's got to step up now. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing when he didn't have the entirety of training camp, when the guy was dealing with a physical and emotional damage that he sustained getting shot in the chest. Like, how can I feel for Ricky Pearsall now in a way, because he has to be this guy that is getting thrust in this position that's going to be, you know, he's going to have to make plays.
He is.
He's going to have to make plays. And, but you know what? Maybe that's the best for him. He's got to trial by fire, right? Well, so like, far, that's just what's going to have to happen.
Well, so far, physically, Ricky Pearsall
looked small.
He looked very small, and he got rerouted very easily when defenders got their hands on him. But I'm going to stall him out because it's his first ever game, and we know what he's coming back from. But the attention is on Ricky Pearsall, and it's going to be expedited with Brandon Ayuk out for a while here. So 888-957-9570 is the number. What you think about yesterday? How deflating is it to lose to that team once again? Kyle Shanahan, 0-5 against Andy Reid. Bosa, 0-4 against Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Fred Warner, 0-4 against Andy Reid and the Chiefs. George Kittle, 0-4. Deebo Samuel, 0-4. The Niners, 0-4 against Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Well, they did beat them back in 2014, but that was a long, long time ago.
This is ownage levels like, you know, the Seahawks against the Niners of the Harbaugh days, it feels like. Does it have that feel to it, Bonte?
Yeah, I mean, mentally, it just looked like they weren't ready to be on the same field as Kansas City.
Yeah.
They talked about being loose in practice. They talked about, oh, yeah, it's just another game, blah, blah, blah. But they came out tight, and they played like it wasn't another game. They played like, oh, damn, we're playing a team that dominates us.
It definitely felt like it should have been more personal for them. Like, they took the Eagles, and maybe because there was trash talking involved last year, maybe that was adding on to it. I don't know. They had to manufacture something last year, but it felt personal last year against the Eagles. Why didn't it feel that way against the Chiefs?
Well, I think
why?
I think it was personal. I just think the Chiefs punched them in the mouth. I think the Chiefs just punched them in the mouth and told them, hey, this is the same old deal. We're going to play man. I was talking to Chris Jones in the locker room afterwards. Evan was, too. I talked to Chris Jones for a little bit. I was like, man, you got... He goes, I go, you guys really love that man defense. He goes, we play straight man. And guys just got to do their jobs.
They weren't hiding anything.
We're playing straight man. You heard Brady on that broadcast. All they're doing is playing man against you. We can't scheme anything open when man. We can't run those screen passes, jet sweeps. And then finally, when you do get some guys open, Kittle and Cowling down the field, the quarterback underthrew these guys. Let's just be real. Brock Purdy's deep ball accuracy this year has been hit or miss. It is what it is. He's a very good quarterback, but the deep ball accuracy has been hit or miss for Brock Purdy. And we got to stop being afraid of saying things like that. We have to stop being afraid of criticizing and giving constructive criticism to these guys. We give them credit when they ball out. When Purdy balls out, I'm quick to say, hey, man, he's got numbers. Da, 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 da. Yesterday, Purdy, he did not look good. It was not good.
No.
It was not good.
It was not good enough. Again, that was my main takeaway from yesterday. I saw, at times, again, and I know you disagree a little bit, that you thought Mahomes didn't have his greatest performance, and I understand that.
He was good. He was solid. But
he made the plays that needed to be made, and Brock Purdy didn't. That was the difference in the game to me. He made the plays that needed to be made, and Brock came up small.
I thought
was the difference. Hey, that's great that you hit Cowing, but you know what? That
should have
been a touchdown. You underthrew it, and then what happened? You threw a pick in the end zone a couple plays after that.
Mm. That was a bad pick.
That
too.
Was really bad.
Oh my gosh.
I don't care that he got hit.
Oh my gosh. Let's go to Mr. D in the city. And then we'll get to David. We got Andre. We got a lot of people here. We'll get to everybody. Mr. D, what's happening?
What's up, D?
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm disappointed. I'm using the D word right now. Listen. First of all, when we did get a running back play. It was penalties. What's up with all these penalties?
Yeah.
What are we, the Raiders now? I mean, this is ridiculous. That's coaching. I'm sorry. That's coaching. And listen, Kyle Shanahan, I'm sorry. He's got lemon booty. He gets lemon booty in the big games. And we can't have that. Listen, I don't care if you don't have all your weapons. You don't have to have all your weapons. He's supposed to be a genius. Y'all told me he was a genius. He's supposed to be able to scheme something out. Now, Spagnola, and Reed, I saw an interview with them, and they were heaping all kind of praise on Brock Purdy, and that's because they knew he was the weak link.
Mm.
Now, they what they did was they said, okay, we can't give Brandon Ayuk all this money because we got to pay Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy ain't even proved nothing yet. And now he missed all training camp and all that. He got all this pressure on him, and now look what's happening. He's out of the game. You signed Christian McCaffrey before that. You gave him a deal. You gave Williams a deal before you dealt with Brandon Ayuk. Hey, man, he's got to be feeling some kind of way about that, too. So, I mean, and I know he had something to do with that, too, but still, we're not ready for prime time.
No.
We're not ready for prime time.
You're right.
Well, you got primetime next week against the Dallas Cowboys.
And you better, you better win that game.
All eyeballs are going to be on you.
You got to win that game next Sunday, or the season's over. David in San Francisco, what's happening?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, I watched the game. I thought, people may dispute this. I thought it was pretty close. We were within 2 points in the third quarter. If Purdy didn't throw to three picks, I think it would have been a different outcome. I have faith in Purdy. He has heart. I saw him do a lot of first downs by running, rushing. So I'm not giving up on him. But I thought we could have won that game, actually, yesterday, as horrible as we played.
No, that's the frustrating part, David. Is the game was left on a silver platter for the Niners. They had every opportunity to take over that football game because their defense was slowing down Patrick Mahomes in that offense. They really did. The defense did a great job yesterday, I thought, at times. Now, Mahomes is going to make crazy plays, but I thought the defense held their own. Kansas City walked into the fourth quarter with 14 points on the scoreboard, but the quarterback didn't play well.
No.
I thought the coach and Coach Shanahan, I thought his game plan, he coached a very timid game. It was like he was nervous about Spags, and he coached not to lose. It was a very safe vanilla game plan, in my opinion, by Kyle Shanahan. And the lack of creativity, as worthy as running jet sweeps and Kareem Hunt's getting screen passes and Kelsey's getting screens and all these guys are getting end arounds. I saw no creativity on the side of the 49ers offense.
I would have loved to just, and I see this with so many offenses, and I don't see it enough with Kyle Shanahan's because I understand his game plan is get a lead, run the ball, do that. But sometimes you just got to throw out the game plan and just go empty set and go hurry up.
Just play.
Just go hurry up. Just do what you got to do.
No huddle.
Get into
a huddle.
Just get into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. Let Brock get into his own because you have to have confidence in your quarterback, right?
Yep.
And I have confidence in Brock that he could throw the ball down the field and dissect a defense. Does he have the biggest arm? No, but he has an accurate arm. And just let him take control. It felt like he was afraid of Brock Purdy taking control yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't want to give him the reins to the offense. And Brock, in turn, played scared. He played scared a little bit yesterday.
I thought
he was
indecisive.
Like, there was just, you felt from top to bottom, it was a trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm.
From Kyle Shanahan's confidence level in his quarterback, that trickled down to the offense. And it was just erratic at best yesterday at times. And that settled with, you know, just not being able to execute when he needed to execute the most.
What do you make of Shanahan talking to Brock Purdy in his locker after a game?
That was interesting.
There's some conflicting reports there, but Purdy say, yeah, we were just having a conversation about what went right, what went wrong. But
I mean, Kyle Shanahan's had history of berating his quarterbacks and being very frustrated with his quarterbacks, i.e. Jimmy Garoppolo, right? You see the tumultuous relationship between mm-hmm. Jimmy and Kyle. Now, there was a little different circumstances there because Jimmy played for Belichick. He was part of a winning organization before coming to the 49ers. So there was some, you know, that Jimmy knew something else prior to Shanahan.
Yeah.
All Brock has known is Kyle coming to the NFL. So there is a different give and take there
mm-hmm.
where Brock, you know, is going to be a little more, I think, you know, okay, boss, okay, yeah, you're right, you do this, you put me in positions to win, I can't argue with you sort of thing. But I would like to see Brock, you know, push back a little bit maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
again, I'm not there. I wasn't there to see that whole interaction.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure.
I wasn't there. Yeah, I didn't see it either. 888-957-9570 is the number.
Nonetheless, that's something to keep a pin in throughout the year, right?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I thought Kyle just coached very – now I think about it more and more as we're talking this out with everybody out there. I appreciate the participation. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch and X and Comcast Business Text Line. Listen, Spadoni, the more and more I think about it is Shanahan was very timid in his play calling. I thought he lacked a lot of creativity. And it was tough on Purdy. Now, Purdy is thrown into double coverage. He's got to stop taking chances like that. It was not a good game from him, which raised a lot of questions afterwards, which we'll reset with that 8 o'clock. By the way, cannot forget this. Jerry Rice, 8:30. Jerry Rice, 8:30, folks. The GOAT.
Huge.
I saw him before the game. He was feeling it. GOAT fuel chain on, silver suit. He was feeling it. How's he feeling this morning? How is he feeling this morning? Jerry Rice is going to join us at 8:30 on the River Islands guest line. And don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Hell, I wish I was in Lathrop right now. I do after that game. Damn. You imagine driving to Lathrop, coming from Levi Stadium after watching that?
Probably toasty out there yesterday, too. Oh. Nice tan.
Man, it was cooking yesterday. Let's go to Andre at EPA.
Was cooking.
Andre, it was cooking, Spadone. Andre, what's happening?
Kansas City barbecue.
What's happening, my guys?
What's up, man, Andre?
You already know my take. You already know my take, man. I'm going to put it on the person that's the head coach. What you mean? Like Kyle Shanahan, game.
Oh, what happened there? What happened
there? Cut off.
Cut off?
I don't know.
Let's go back to Andre EPA. I think he's still on line one. There we go. Sorry, Andre.
Shut up.
We got you.
What's up, Andre?
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, it's all good.
Like I said, you know how I'm playing on Kyle Shanahan. I feel like you this morning, too, bro. Dead to the heart. Because it shows every time. We play this team better than anybody. Yeah. Anybody in the NFL. It shows. It's in the proof. We get Patrick Mahomes rattled, throwing picks, coming out of the second half. That's three games in a row. He's coming out the second half, throwing interceptions. What do you mean? And then the fall guy, the coach we had, the team was coordinator, he did an awesome job in the Super Bowl.
Steve Wilkes did a good job in the Super Bowl. He did.
That's what I'm saying. Even Spags. Spags did great yesterday. He did awesome. No, we didn't have all our weapons, but we rallied. He did not be.
Sorry, it's all right. Andre.
People are fired up.
Hey, never fails on the show. Drop an S-bomb. He tried to pivot.
It's all good.
It's all good. Should we squeeze in one more call before the injury report?
Listen, real quick before that. I get it. You're allowed to be frustrated. This is a loss. We want to hear from the fans. 888-957-9570. Sometimes you just get beat by a better team. Yesterday, the Chiefs, and they're the only undefeated team left in the NFL right now.
The Niners,
they don't have Christian McCaffrey. They lost Brandon Ayuk.
Debo didn't play yesterday. No, we got to stop. Stop, Spadoni.
No,
stop. I'm not letting you do this.
This is just a fact.
I'm not letting you do this.
They just lost. Like,
they don't have Rasheed Rice. They don't have Isaiah Pacheco.
Mahomes.
They lost Juju Smith-Schuster in the first quarter. In the first quarter, I don't want to hear anything about injuries this morning. I don't want to hear about it. I'm sorry.
I can't do the injury thing.
I can't make the excuses.
And you don't, Bonte.
No, so what? He threw two picks yesterday.
Okay, one of the picks wasn't his fault.
They got Spags yesterday. Shut down his offense. I got Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, and Jordan Mason, who's a league leader in rushing. All right, Brandon Ayuk still on the team. I don't want to hear this about injuries. I don't want to hear about excuses. I'm sorry. Not today. I can't do it. You forced two interceptions. You had great field position in the first quarter. Great field position in the first half, and you didn't take advantage of it. You didn't go for two when it's 14-12. You kick the extra point, and the guy goes wide left. All right?
And now we're saying we got to fire Shanahan, and we can't
pay Brock Purdy.
No, we're not saying that.
But you know what? They're frustrated. I don't want to hear about... You know, well, who's our... See, and I'm saying this, and this is my problem. 415, they still have their best player, Patrick Mahomes. We don't have our best player. I thought Brock Purdy was our best player.
Seems like it's Christian McCaffrey now.
I thought Brock Purdy was our best player. I thought we had Brock.
Do you think Brock Purdy's the 49ers' best player, Bonte Hill?
He's one of them. We got the quarterback.
Is he the best player?
He's a top five quarterback in the league.
Right,
it's inexcusable to throw three picks yesterday the way he threw three picks. So I don't want to hear anything about excuses, injuries, anything like that. This team, all season long, through 7 weeks of the season, has not been buttoned up. You've blown multiple double-digit leads to Arizona and the Rams. You got undressed by Brian Flores in Minnesota. You got punked yesterday by Spags at Kansas City's defense. I don't want to hear any excuses this morning. Today's not the day. Not going to have it. Not going to have it. I mean, I'm sorry, Spadoni.
There's no excuses. It's just the reality. You're missing a lot of your best players.
We
just
parade around town like we're a Super Bowl contender. Well, you know what? We played another Super Bowl contender. And what happened? They didn't belong on the field with Kansas City yesterday.
Well, no one has because they're undefeated.
No. They didn't belong on the field yesterday. Not even close. We're supposed to be. We're not at. See, that's the problem.
It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
The Niners are just not anybody. We're not the New Orleans Saints. We're not the Chargers. All right? We're not none of these other teams. We're the damn Niners. The Niners, who've been to four NFC Championship games in the last 5 years. And you play another Super Bowl contender, and you don't even look like you belong on the same field. You don't even belong on the same field offensively. So I don't want to hear it. You can't beat man coverage? You're telling me a pro team can't beat man coverage? You can I get a rub route, pick route, something? Screen, jet sweep, something?
Yeah, you'd kill to be the Chargers right now. They're a playoff team.
Got destroyed yesterday offensively. Oh, I'm annoyed. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm annoyed this morning. I'm annoyed. I got an offensive play caller. Like, just timid to call plays. Timid. And I got a quarterback who's seeing three ghosts. I'm tired of the excuses. I'm tired of them. Not today, folks. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I'm tired of losing to this team. My ego's bruised. My spirit is bruised. It's injured. My psyche's injured. Niner fan psyche's injured. Nah, Spadoni, this ain't it, man. This ain't it. Guys can't uncover on man coverage. So you run across those drags, anything doesn't matter. Because you can't beat man coverage. And every team against the Niners, we see seven teams now. Arizona, who lives in zone defense. They play quarter zone all game long. You know what Arizona did when they came to Levi Stadium? They had no days of quarters. And they said, we're just going to play man. Just play man against this team. Play man. IU feared to have a torn ACL. Could be out for the remainder of the season. As if things can't get any worse. So pay the guy $76 million. Guaranteed, 4 for $120. I'm all for the move. But now he's out for the season, possibly with a torn ACL. Injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Maybe my voice is going to get injured. I don't need Boxer and Gerson. Helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Dude, you
got to
ensure those vocal cords, man.
Man, where's Hillary at? Where are they at?
She have a baby?
Yeah, she's getting close.
Good
getting
for her.
Close. Getting yeah. close.
You can focus on that, not the Raiders, because they stink.
Wow.
Well, talking about nightmare seasons.
What's coming up on the game brought to you by our great Shador. Friends at Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.